Blog Talk Radio.
We want to say good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Friday afternoon Bible study. And it is good to have you all with us. We are so happy that we are able to continue to serve the Lord in this fashion and to have you joining us week to week. It is truly indeed a blessing. So we want to thank God for you, and we want to pray that you would continue to be with us every day and in a very special way. I just want to take the time to welcome our speaker for today, the one who's going to be leading out, Pastor Arthur Carlson. And I just want to say, Pastor Carlson, it's good to have you on the line. How are you doing today?
Just fine. I'm delighted to be here.
Amen. Amen. And I am delighted to have you with us because it was truly on my mind before you called, before I saw that you called, you know, to ask you about leading out today and to ask if you would be prepared to do it, because we didn't talk during the week. And so I was wondering that this morning, and then I saw I missed a call from you, and I was saying, praise the Lord, I hope Pastor was calling to say that, you know what, I'll be able to to do the program this afternoon. That was the case. So That call this morning was an answer to prayer. So I thank God for that, and I thank God for you, and I pray that the message that you bring to us this afternoon will indeed water our souls and help us to be prepared to, you know, not only draw closer to Christ, but be prepared to meet Him when He comes, because I truly believe that we are moving closer and closer towards the end of time. And especially as we celebrate another Easter, you know, it is Easter weekend, and folks are busy about that, you know. In some countries, I don't know, I don't see it too much over here, but I know, like where I'm from, they do a lot of flying of kites. They would fly kites over there to show that Christ rose from the dead and that He is now in heaven. And so that is something that on the minds of people at this time of the year. I'm praying that it's not only the fact that He died for us, He came and He died, but the fact that He rose also from the dead. And more so on Sunday, Easter Sunday, that's when we'll be more thinking about the resurrection. I know right now it's all about the crucifixion. This is Good Friday, and it's all about the crucifixion and what He did. But I am truly thankful, Pastor, that Christ did not only come, but He came for us, and He lived for us, He died for us, and then He rose again, and He ascended into the heavens, you know, and now it says that he's at the right hand of the Father, where he is our advocate. Isn't that something? At the right hand of God, and he's our advocate or our intercessor. He's the one that is representing us there. So even though we may be sinners, even though we may fall into sin, and, you know, and as the Bible says, we are shapen in iniquity, it says that we have a representative at the Father, though. And that's what John said in 1 John 2 and verse 1. He says, you know, I write these things unto you, my little children, that you sin not. But he says, but if you sin, remember that you have an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And to me, that is what resurrection is all about, what the Easter season is all about now. Because, yes, he came, and yes, he died, and all of that, and that was so important, because he died so that we don't have to die. But what would have happened, Pastor, if Christ did not raise from the dead? You know, as Paul says, even while we were yet sinners, he died, but then he rose from the dead. What would have happened without that resurrection?
We would have all been most miserable, Paul says.
Amen.
We would have no hope.
That's right.
We would have to die in our own sins.
That's right. We would have had to pay for our own sins. But now, because of Christ, we have a way of escape. We can, you know, we can turn it over upon him. We don't have to carry that burden by ourselves. And so I'm so thankful for that, that he rose and he is now my advocate. He's now my representative at the right hand of the Father. That is so good. You know, Pastor, think about having to go to court and you don't have a counselor, you don't have an attorney to speak on your behalf. You have to represent yourself. And some people choose to do that today in court. But think about that, having to represent yourself in court, and you're not a lawyer yourself, but you have to represent yourself. And especially if you are the guilty party, if you are guilty and you have to stand before that judge. I mean, I've gone to court a few times for a ticket, like parking tickets and speeding tickets and stuff like that, and, you know, having to deal with that in court. And it's not an easy experience, because the times when I've gone, I thought that I was innocent. I wasn't supposed to get the ticket. That's why I went. And sometimes even if I might have been guilty, I still felt that I could challenge it in court and win, you know. And so I went. But think about going to court for something even more serious than that, and not having an attorney by your side or someone to represent you. It's not a good feeling. It's not a good prospect, because it's always, whenever you stand before the judge, at least the few times that I have gone to deal with parking tickets, and I think one time I went for a speeding ticket too. The few times that I have gone, it's not a good feeling. I don't like going to the court and standing before the judge, but imagine having to be there. And the times that I went to, I never had an attorney. I just went to speak on behalf of myself. So it was like me talking against the officer at that time, who was representing, you know, himself as well. So it was my word against the officer's word, and that was that. But imagine how much more, I guess, comforting, or how much more at ease I would have been if I had an attorney there with me. You know, someone to be an advocate on my behalf and to speak on my behalf, it would have been a whole lot more easier, at least I believe, because it was nerve-wracking and just standing there. And, you know, I'm just saying all of this to say that it is a blessing to know that when it comes to the court of heaven, because one day all of us will have to stand before the judgment seat of God. But it is good to know that when that day comes and when we have to, you know, give an account for all that we have done, it is good to know that we have an advocate right there with the Father. Because Jesus Christ not only came and lived and died, but because he rose and he went up to heaven, now we have him standing there next to the Father on our behalf. And with those words, I just want to say welcome to Sister Jackie. Grace, Jackie, is that you online? I'm still not sure whether that's your number or if it's Sister Francis.
I greet each and everyone in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It's a wonderful privilege that we once more together to glorify the name of Jesus and sing that victorious song, because we have an advocate interceding for us, our lawyer in the courtroom. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I just want to introduce us with those words and introduce today's topic with those words. And again, I just want to welcome each and every one of us. Pastor, I know you're ready to go. What is your topic for today?
It's entitled The Faith of Jesus.
The Faith of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're looking forward to that study. And at this time, we're going to play our opening song. And after that, we will have prayer by, or let's do the prayer first. Sister Jackie, you can pray for us since you're here. And after that, we will have the opening song, and then Pastor, you can go into your message today. Okay, the faith of Jesus. This time we'll just bow our heads, and Sister Grace is going to lead us in prayer.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you once more, Lord, to thank you for this another opportunity, Lord, where we can allow your name, where we can be thankful, Lord, because we have an advocate, Lord, interceding for us each day. What a blessing thing to know that we are not alone, Lord, that when the adversary accused us, Jesus said, I took care of it. I paid it all
Amen.
In full. So we need to be thankful each and every day.
Amen.
Each time
yes.
we get up in the morning, we need to be thankful. Before we go to bed, we should be thankful, you know, every single second of our life that Jesus paid over us. So today, Lord, we want to thank you once more for this
yes.
time which we are commemorating what you did on the cross for us, Lord. We
yes.
ask you to bless
Amen.
Each and every one, Lord, and as our the preacher bring the lesson today, that it will be to encourage us, that we will
yes.
hide it in our heart and be a blessing. Share your love, Lord, because you are coming soon for your people. So we need to stay on the track. We need to keep that lamp trim on burning, Lord, so that when you come, we will be ready, Lord. We need to live ready for your second coming. So, Father God, we ask you to bless each and every one here, meet their needs, and give them a wonderful time this day and the rest of the week, and that we will always trust in you and put that faith, Lord. You didn't say a big faith, but whatever we have, we must put it in your hand and allow it to increase, because without faith, it's impossible to please you. So again, we thank you, we praise you, and we leave it all in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. This time we're going to listen to Ride On, King Jesus. Ride On, King Jesus.
Amen.
speaker, Pastor Arthur Carlson.
Greetings. Good to be with you this evening.
Yes.
My topic, as Don mentioned, is the faith of Jesus. And I'm going to use the scriptures quite a bit. And if you have your Bibles close by, you're welcome to join me in these scripture reading. You can read along with me as I read. The first text I want to read is Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 12. It goes like this. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, this text is rather interesting. First of all, it speaks about the patience of the saints. Now, I'm not going to talk about the patience of the saints. Then it says, and those who keep the commandments of God. I'm not going to talk about the commandments of God, though I keep them, and I love them, and I appreciate them. But the rest of it says, and the faith of Jesus. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What is the faith of Jesus? Let us turn back to John, St. John, the first chapter, and let's identify who Jesus really is. And this is St. John 1. Verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Do you have it? John 1. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, first chapter. It starts like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let's turn right across to verse 14, and it's identifying the Word. Now we're looking to find out who Jesus is. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that first text says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the 14th verse identifies the Word as the one who dwelt among us, the original tabernacled among us. In other words, he walked with us. He talked with us. He was just in our world. Now, tonight, I'm not going to be talking about the divinity of Christ. Text John 1, verse 1. Identifies the divinity of Christ, but the 14th verse identifies him as the human Jesus. And so I'm going to be talking not about his divinity, but about his humanity. Here is the patience of the saints. That's you and me. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And the reason for this talk this evening is to identify how that we are to live so close to Christ and be so identified with him that we are his servants and we have the privilege of salvation. It was a very eventful day in the life of Christ. He had healed, he had preached. He now was tired and hungry. After he had dismissed the multitude, he asked his disciples to shove off into the Sea of Galilee. It was not long before Jesus was fast asleep in the bottom of the ship, the rocking ship, and suddenly, on the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee, between the two mountains, there stirred up a storm like there never was. It swept across the Sea of Galilee, and it hit that little boat that the 12 disciples and Jesus were in. The waves swept over the rock. The waves hit the ship, and Peter thought it was going to be sinking, and so did the rest of the disciples, but Jesus was fast asleep. Pellets of rain began to pour, lightning streaked across the sky, and the waves came over into the ship, and they had to bail out the water. All of a sudden, the disciples were so frightened. And when a lightning streaked across the sky again, Peter happened to see the sleeping form of Jesus in the bottom of the boat. And he cried out, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And while the boat was rocking, Jesus reached up and finally stood up, and with his hands towards the sky, he said, "Peace, be still." And the waves sunk back into the sea. Now I'm going to ask you the question, how did Jesus do this? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now I'm going to take you over to Cana of Galilee, and there was a wedding going on. Jesus' cousin was getting married, and Jesus was invited, and all of his disciples, and of course Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and I would venture to say that she was in the kitchen. She was helping with the food and so forth, and these weddings sometimes would go on a week's time, and this particular wedding ran out of wine, and they got a little bit frightened because they don't usually run out of wine. And so Jesus' mother came to him and said, "Jesus, can you help us?" And Jesus saw some water pots, big stone water pots. He saw six of them. And those water pots could have held from 20 to 30 gallons apiece. And so he told the servants, he says, "Fill those water jugs with water." And then he told the servants to draw out. And it didn't come out water, it came out wine. And they brought it to the governor, and he told them to bring it to the governor of the feast. And when he tasted it, he asked the bridegroom, "How come you have saved the best until the last?" Now the question, the same old question I asked you first, how did Jesus do this? Here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now Jesus often crossed the Sea of Galilee, and it was another time that he crossed it. And when he came to shore, there was a great multitude waiting for him. And there was a gentleman there by the name of Jairus, whose daughter was very ill. And when he saw Jesus, he hurriedly went to his side and said, "Master, my daughter is very ill. can you do something for her? Can you heal her? And Jesus said, yes. But before he got to the house, word got to Jairus that his daughter had died. And Jesus heard this. He said, that's all right. I'll be there. And when he got to the house, the mourners were already there. And he shooed them away. And he took James, Peter, and John and went into the house with the mother and the daddy, of course. And they led him to the room where the daughter lay. She was still. She didn't flick her eyelids or anything. She, like she was sleeping, but Jesus said she was dead. She didn't have any life in her at all. And Jesus went over to her, took that small little cold hand, put it into it between his two big warm hands, and then he gazed into her eyes, sleeping eyes, and said, daughter, I say unto thee, arise. And Jairus' daughter opened her eyes. Then she sat up and she saw four strange men. And then she saw her mother and daddy, and then she was into their arms. Now I want to ask that same question again. How did Jesus raise Jairus' daughter to life? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I want to tell you one more experience that Jesus had. While he was upon this earth, he was just leaving Jericho. And he came, and while he was on the road to Jerusalem, there was a man there, tin can, asking money. He was blind. His name was Bartimaeus. And when blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was there and in the crowd, he shouted out and he says, Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, have mercy on me. And he said it again, even louder, and the people said, be quiet. And Jesus heard him as he was yelling out the third time. And Jesus says, come here. And so blind Bartimaeus threw his coat down, his tin can down, and they led him over to Jesus. And Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, he says, what do you want? And Jesus says, and he said, I want my eyesight. And Jesus gave him the eyesight. Now the question again, how did Jesus heal blind Bartimaeus? Hear the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now listen, this might shock you, but I want you to listen to me through what I have to say, and I'll prove from the scriptures. Jesus did not still the tempest. Jesus did not make the water into wine. Jesus did not raise Jairus' daughter. Jesus did not heal blind Bartimaeus. Heresy, I hear, maybe someone saying. But listen to me out. I want you to, first of all, turn to John, the Now, let me read verse 14 first so I can bring out another point. And the Word became flesh. That's the divinity of Christ came flesh, and he dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, remember, we're talking about Jesus in the human while he was here and the faith of Jesus. And it's the same type of a faith that we are going to have as we face the end time events that are just before us. And so, you know, I'm going to share with you a statement that Jesus gave. And this is the 5th chapter of John and the 19th verse. And he was talking to people from the Sanhedrin, or the ruling force of Israel. And then and Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Now in my Bible I have that underlined. And if you want to underline that in your Bible, I would encourage you. Let me read it again. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." You see, he had such great faith. He trusted in his Father, and his Father did it for him. Let me read another text. It's the 30th verse of John, the 5th chapter. He says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now let's go to the 6th chapter and read verse 57. It says this, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." Now this text is telling us that his Father gave him every breath that Jesus took. You see, he has to do that. There was a time in my life, in my young life, that I thought that when I was born, God set a law into motion that Art Carlson would he would breathe until the day he died, and that law would keep him, and God could go and do anything he wanted to do. He didn't have to pay any attention to me. But that is not so, because every breath that you and I take, God gives it to us. And let's try this, if you will. Let's breathe. Take one breath. Breathe with me. Okay? Hold it. Now let it out. That breath that all of us just took came from God. And so this is, we trust in God for every single breath that we take. Now, there in Hebrews, oh, by the way, I have one more text I want to share with you, and that's in John the 14th chapter, verse 10. John 14, verse 10. I'm going to read the whole verse, but the last part of the verse is what I really want to emphasize. It says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Now, I have that underlined in my Bible. The Father who dwells in me, and that me is Jesus, does the works. So, who stilled the tempest? Who raised Jairus' daughter to life? Who made the water into wine? And who healed blind Bartimaeus? Who do you think did? What does it say? It says, the Father who dwells in me does the works. You see that? Okay, let's go on. This is something, I just had to put this text in here because it means so much to me, and it's found in Hebrews 5, verse 7 to 9, and I'm going to read it in the Phillips translation. So listen carefully. It says, Christ, in the days when he was a man on earth, appealed to the one who could save him from death in desperate prayer and was freed from the shrinking from death. But son though he was, he had to prove the meaning of obedience through all that he suffered. And when he had been proved perfect son, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who should obey him, being now recognized by God himself as high priest. You see, Jesus wasn't perfect savior when he was born. He became this perfect savior. He proved himself the perfect son. He learned that as a human being while he was upon this earth. Says Christ, in the days when he was a man on earth, appealed to the one who could save him from death, that's his Father, in desperate prayer, and was freed from his shrinking from death. But stunned though he was, he had to prove the meaning of obedience to all that he suffered. Then when he had been proved the perfect son, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who should obey him, being now recognized by God himself as our high priest. And Jesus is our high priest. He's in the courts of heaven today, as our leader said at the beginning of our message this evening, that he's standing at the, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what was the secret of Christ then? Remember, he was human. He was a perfect human, of course. I'm not depreciating him one at all. But how was he able to live by faith, like you and I are challenged to live by faith? First of all, Christ, in Christ's humanity, he was united with divinity. He was fitted for the conflict by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is important to us. We invite him in. He is dwelling within our lives. And that's being united with divinity. And in doing this, we can live by faith. This is our privilege as we unite with the divine. Also, Jesus used something that we can do. Remember, after his baptism, he went into the forest, and there he was for 40 days and 40 nights. And then when he came out, he hadn't eaten anything, and he was hungry. And who met him? An angel of light, Jesus, could have thought. You know, but it was Satan. And Satan did not at first appear to Christ in his true character, but as bright, beautiful, attractive angel sent to Christ with a message direct from his Father in heaven. This was a temptation to Christ. His humanity made it a temptation to him. It was only by trusting in his Father that he could resist these temptations. But when Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, make this stone into bread," how did Jesus respond to his assailant or to Satan? Remember what he said? "It is written." That's what he said. And that's, in other words, he took scripture, he quoted scripture. And in doing this, he was able to resist the temptation of Satan. And you see, we can do the same thing. We can quote scripture. We must memorize scripture in order to do that. So when assailed by temptation, we are not to look to the circumstances or the weakness of self, but to the power of the Word. All its strength is yours. Remember what Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Also, when Jesus was awakened to the storm, remember on the Sea of Galilee, he was in perfect peace. There was no trace of fear in word or look, for no fear was in his heart. But he rested not in the possession of almighty power. It was not as the master of earth and sea and sky that he reposed in quiet. That power he had laid down. He trusted in his Father's might. It was in faith in God's love and care that Jesus rested. And the power of that word which stilled the storm was the power of God. Now remember, in that story that I told you about that experience on the sea and how Jesus stilled it, why were the disciples so afraid? What caused their fear? Well, the disciples' fear in time of danger revealed their unbelief. In their efforts to save themselves, they forgot Jesus. And it was only when in despair, self-dependent, and it was only they turned to Jesus for him to give them help. Now there's one more experience I want to tell you to demonstrate the faith of Jesus, and that's on the cross. In the closing moments at the cross, Jesus uttered an admission that is deeply significant. Remember what he said? "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus spilled into the recorded history his admission that he could no longer see the Father. In his humanity, he could not see through the portals of the tomb. He felt much as sinners will feel when the plagues of God's wrath shall be poured out upon them. In other words, in a sense, Jesus, was entering hell for us, dying the second death so we could survive. Faith and hope trembled in the expiring agonies of Christ because God had removed the assurance he had given him before this run with the anguished question, why hast thou forsaken me? But now something wonderful happens. Faith takes over. In his dying agony, as Jesus yields up his precious life, he has, by faith alone, to trust in him, whom it has ever been his joy to obey. And he utters another statement into the stream of history. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. He prayed to the Father. He can no longer see. Remember, we're talking about the faith of Jesus. In other words, he turns loose of life, drops into the unknown, trusting that somewhere in the blackness will be the Father's arms. That, I suggest, is the faith of Jesus. What is faith? That is faith. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Somewhere in the future, a generation of God's people will keep the commandments of God. We can know that because the Holy and True One saw it happen. Thus they present to the world the message that the gospel works. It can change lives so completely that heaven calls the universe to witness the event. When that happens, the character of Jesus has been perfectly reproduced in his people. The war can end because Lucifer's claim that the law cannot be kept has finally been disproved. You know, Jesus treated the Father as the Father. He knew his voice. He spent many an early morning hour talking with him. They would make plans for the day. Daily, Jesus prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He trusted in his Father to be able to sleep through the raging storm, to make the water into wine, to raise to life Jairus' daughter, and to heal blind Bartimaeus. And in Jesus, in his humanity, had no power that we cannot use. Jesus was made perfect through obedience. Habakkuk 2:4 tells us, the just shall live by his faith. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is Jesus. This is our Savior, now in heaven, sending his Holy Spirit and angels to give us the power to live by faith. We can do it through his power. Do you believe it? I do.
Amen.
I do. And I pray that you do too. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, It is with joy that we've been able to talk about the faith of Jesus, how he challenges us to live by faith as he did when he was on this earth, how he depended upon his Father, trusted in his Father, let his Father make the decisions for him. Let his Father make plans for him. And, O Lord, help us to do the same, allowing our Father to make those plans for us. Bless us now, Father, and hear our prayer tonight and bless everyone who is listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And amen indeed. Wow. Pastor, you have really, as we would say, gotten into some deep waters today. That is deep waters. And indeed, I believe that we have all been blessed. All those who are listening have been blessed by this message. And like last week, you have given us a lot of food for thought again. And one thing you said, I just want to ask, just to make sure that I heard you right. You said that Jesus in his humanity had no power that we cannot have.
That's right. That's right.
Am I right? Wow.
That's right.
So then.
In his humanity.
Yeah, in his humanity. That's the thing. So, and which is what he used to do, you know, all the miracles that he did. He did it as humans, as a human being. It wasn't like he was, you know, divine. So my question is, why is it that we lack so much? Why is it that we don't do these things today? Even though somehow we have to get there, because you're saying that somewhere, sometime there's going to be a people that will have the patience and the faith of Jesus. So my thing is, why not us?
Well, I guess we haven't come to the place like he wants us to be, you know, to depend upon him so well. You see, Satan has claimed ever since the beginning, even before he defected from heaven, and that is no one can keep God's law and perfectly. And you see, this is what the faith in Jesus and the faith of Jesus will do for us. We will come to the place, and Revelation speaks about the 144,000, and that I liken the 144,000 to ministers who will go out the entire world and preach, and they will live such a life that others can see Jesus living within them. And they will have this power that we were talking about tonight, that Jesus had while he was upon this earth. You say that he allowed his Father to work through him. And the divine and the human were so combined that even though he was human, he had the divine within him, just like you and I can have.
Mm-hmm.
As we invite the Holy Spirit to come within us, you see, and we will live a life that really wins. He that hath the Son hath life, and that's eternal life, see.
Yes, we really have to experience that change that comes from being in Christ, that Paul talks about in Romans. He says it, right? Or 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I guess
that's
we really
right.
have to experience that, you know, that we really have to get to that point where we can experience that transformation, where we can experience that change, where we can move from being, you know, just sinners living in this world and just doing whatever, you know, we are inclined to do, to the point where we are so united with Christ and united with heaven, like I said, that we are able to allow him to work through us, or allow the Father to work through us like he did through Christ. Because Christ was so connected with him.
That's
that
right.
God was able to work through him. The Holy Spirit was able to work through him. So we have to get to that point. And that's a challenge. Yeah.
Jesus guide us to get to that point. We can't do it by ourselves. He has
right.
to help us be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. So one last question, and then I'm going to just play a song and close. But what is one thing that we can do right now to start to move in that direction where we allow Christ to come so close, where we become so connected to him that he can work in and through us? What would the first step for us to do as God's children today?
First of all, commit our ways to him. Say, mm-hmm. Lord, take my life. Use me as thou wouldst have me to be used. Show me the mm-hmm. pathway. Guide and direct me. And you know, temptations come. And when those temptations come, pray a prayer. Start memorizing scripture. That scripture mm-hmm. that you use to withstand the devil. And you'd be surprised how even Jesus will help us to memorize scripture.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's true.
It.
Yeah. That is true. Because I know he helped me a lot with that and with memorizing. So, study his word. Well, saints, that is why we are here, and our time is up. I mean, it's so fast. I really cannot even open the line for anybody today. We have just a few seconds to go, and so we just want to thank you all for listening, and I just want to thank Pastor Carson for the message today. Indeed, it has been a blessing, and we will cherish those words in our hearts and then commit our ways to him. We can start with that. Commit our ways to him and start to get more in studying his word and learning his word and memorizing his word so that we can become more like him. So thank you all for listening. And please join us next week at the same place. Call the same number at the same time, 6. And we will be blessed with another thought-provoking message and inspiring message that would challenge us to become more and more like Jesus. Let us bow our heads to prayer as we close. Father, our God, we thank you so much for the word today. We thank you for our presenter, Pastor Arthur Carson. We pray and ask that you may continue to be with him and bless him and continue to be with this program. Bless us. Bless all the listeners that we have today, and bless those who will be listening later on in the week as they go through the archives. And whatever we fail of asking you, Lord, fail not to grant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless. Yes, have a wonderful Friday evening and bless Saturday tomorrow and a blessed week next week. And see you guys next Friday at the same time on this station. Pastor, thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Bye now. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Yeah.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed us yet, he never will, no. Things that seem so important. one. That's why we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. He never will. No.
Turn back.
No, we've come this far by faith.